Hey friends, welcome back to Unpolished But Cold. I'm Catherine Schaefer, and today we're stepping into the hardest conversation of this entire series. Not because it's confusing, not because it's dramatic, but because it's uncomfortable in the way truth usually is when it gets too close to home. Today is our final episode of our 12 Apostles series, and we only have one apostle left. So today we're talking about Judas Iscariot. And before we go any further, I need to say this clearly. Judas is not just the villain of the story. He is the warning. He is the weight. He is the wreckage of what happens when proximity to Jesus replaces surrender to Jesus. And because this is the final apostle in our December series, it's fitting and honestly necessary that we end here. Because Judas forces us to stop romanticizing discipleship and ask a harder question. What does it actually mean to follow Jesus all the way? Judas walked with Jesus, heard every sermon, witnessed every miracle. He was trusted, chosen, and still Judas fell. And that reality should sober us, not terrify us, but really sober us. Because Judas reminds us that faith is not proven by access, language, or association. It's proven by what we allow Jesus to change inside us. This isn't an episode about condemnation. It's about honesty. And if we listen carefully, Judas has something to teach us, especially at the end of this journey. Judas doesn't enter the story as a monster. That's important. We have to remember. If we turn him into a character, we miss the point entirely. He was called the same way the others were. He followed the same rabbi. He left the same life behind. Judas wasn't lurking in the shadows from the beginning. He was present, included, trusted enough to hold the money bag. And that detail alone tells us something significant. This wasn't a man the disciples suspected or avoided. He wasn't on the outskirts. He was in the inner circle. And that should unsettle us. Because Judas didn't start as the betrayer. He started as a disciple who believed Jesus was the answer. But believed that answer should look a certain way. Like many of the others, Judas likely followed Jesus with expectations. Expectations about power, change, about how the kingdom of God would arrive. But unlike some of the others, Judas struggled when Jesus refused to meet those expectations. And here's where the story starts to mirror our own more than we'd like to admit. We don't usually walk away from Jesus all at once. We drift. We adjust. We reinterpret. We hold on to parts of him while resisting others. Judas didn't reject Jesus immediately. He followed him while quietly disagreeing with him. And that's a dangerous place to live. Judas watched Jesus choose mercy over momentum. He watched Jesus refuse political power. He watched Jesus avoid confrontation when confrontation could have forced change. And somewhere along the way, disappointment took root. That's the part of Judas' story we don't like to sit with. The idea that betrayal didn't begin with greed, but with unmet expectations. Money was the tool. Disillusionment was the soil. We know this because scripture gives us small glimpses of Judas' heart long before the betrayal. His frustration when expensive perfume is poured out onto Jesus. His concern for practicality over devotion. His irritation when worship doesn't make logical sense. Those moments feel familiar. We've all had seasons where we silently thought, this isn't how I thought God would do this. where we followed Jesus but felt increasingly uncomfortable with how he handled things, where obedience felt inefficient, where surrender felt wasteful. Jesus didn't leave when those feelings surfaced. He stayed. But he stayed divided. And that division matters because walking with Jesus while refusing his way slowly hardens the heart. Jesus heard the same teachings about humility, sacrifice, and love, but instead of letting those teachings reshape him, he filtered them through his own agenda. And that's where the danger lives. Not in outright rebellion, but in selective obedience. Judas didn't betray Jesus in a moment. He betrayed him over time by allowing disappointment to go unchecked, by nursing resentment, by letting frustration replace trust. And the most haunting part, Jesus knew. He washed Judas's feet, shared meals with him, handed him bread at the table, called him friend even in the garden. Judas was never unloved. He was unyielded. And that distinction changes everything. Because Judas proves that being close to Jesus doesn't automatically make us transformed by Jesus. Relationship requires response. Grace invites surrender, but it doesn't force it. Judas heard every warning and still walked towards wreckage. And that's where we need to pause. Not to judge him, but to examine ourselves. Because Judas' story isn't there to make us feel superior. It's here to keep us honest. What happens next in Judas' story is where the weight truly settles in. Because betrayal is never as clean or satisfying as we imagine it will be when resentment is still forming. Judas doesn't walk away from Jesus feeling powerful. He doesn't feel victorious. He doesn't feel relieved. The moment he realizes what he's done, the ground drops out from under him. The betrayal itself is almost painfully understated. A kiss, a familiar gesture. Something that once signaled closeness becomes the mark of separation. That detail matters. Because Judas didn't betray Jesus with open hostility. He betrayed him while still standing close, still calling him rabbi, still using the language of relationship even as he broke it. That's part of what makes this story so devastating. Judas didn't wake up intending to destroy everything. He intended to force an outcome. Many scholars believe he may have thought this would finally push Jesus into action, finally compel him to reveal his power, make the kingdom arrive the way Judas believed it should. But instead of control, Judas got silence. Instead of triumph, he got the sound of chains. Instead of clarity, he got the crushing realization that he had misunderstood Jesus entirely. Oh, and that realization is unbearable. Scripture tells us that Judas is filled with remorse, not indifference, not coldness. Remorse. He returns the money. He confesses what he's done. He admits he betrayed innocent blood. And that matters, because it tells us that Judas wasn't unfeeling, he wasn't heartless, he wasn't untouched by conscience. But remorse is not the same as repentance. Remorse says, I hate what I did. Repentance says, I'm bringing what I did to Jesus. And this is where the story breaks our hearts. Jesus takes his grief everywhere except to the one place that could have held it. See, Peter also betrayed Jesus, publicly, loudly, repeatedly. But Peter ran towards Jesus after the resurrection. Judas isolated himself inside his shame. Peter allowed failure to become a doorway back to grace. Judas allowed failure to convince him grace was no longer available. And that difference is everything. Judas believed his sin disqualified him from returning. He believed the wreckage was final. He believed the weight was too heavy to be carried back into a relationship. And so instead of falling at the feet of the Savior he betrayed, he collapsed under the belief that it was too late. And that belief cost him his life. Judas' death is tragic, not because he sinned, but because he believed sin had the final word. He believed failure was louder than mercy. He believed the story ended with his worst moment. And that's the warning part of the story that still speaks to us. Because many of us carry a quiet Judas fear inside us. The fear that we've gone too far. The fear that we knew better and still chose wrong. The fear that Jesus might forgive others but not us. The fear that proximity was enough to condemn us instead of save us. Judas forces us to confront the lie that shame tells so convincingly. The truth is, Jesus never withdrew his invitation from Judas, even in the garden. Jesus calls him friend, not traitor, enemy, but friend. That word lingers in the air like an unanswered question. What if Judas had stayed? Had waited? What if he had let resurrection reach him too? But we'll never know. And that's part of why Judas is the final apostle in this series. Not because he's the worst, but because he's the most sobering. His life stands at the edge of grace and shows us what happens when we turn away from it. Not because it isn't offered, but because we believe we no longer deserve it. Judas reminds us that being near Jesus is not the same as being surrendered to him. That knowing scripture is not the same as trusting Christ. That remorse without hope becomes a dead end. And that the enemy doesn't need us to stop believing in Jesus. Only to stop believing Jesus would still want us after we fail. That's the wreckage. But here's the part we cannot miss, especially as we close this series. Judas' story does not exist to make us afraid of falling. It exists to make us honest about staying. Staying when we're disappointed. Staying when our expectations are shattered. When obedience doesn't look the way we imagine. When shame tells us to run. Every other apostle in this series failed in some way. Peter denied. Thomas doubted. James burned hot. Simon had to lay down his ideology. John had to learn love without comparison. The difference with Judas isn't failure. It's isolation. And that's the final lesson. Discipleship isn't proven by perfection. It's proven by where we go when we fall apart. Judas shows us what happens when we take our regret everywhere except to Jesus. And in that sense, his life is not just a tragedy. It's a warning wrapped in compassion, inviting us to choose differently. So as we close this December journey through the apostles, it makes sense that we end here, not in despair, but in clarity, not with condemnation, but with resolve. because the story of the apostles doesn't end with the one who fell. It continues with the ones who stayed, repented, were restored, and carried the gospel forward anyways. And that invitation is still open to us. No matter how close we've been, how far we've drifted, how heavy the weight feels, grace is still closer than shame would have us believe. And that brings us to the end. Thank you for walking with me through this entire series on Unpolished But Called. These apostles weren't chosen because they were flawless. They were chosen because they were willing, sometimes slowly, painfully, to be changed. But if Judas teaches us anything, it's that Jesus is not afraid of our brokenness, but he will never force us to bring it to him. If this series has stirred something in you, I encourage you to stay connected, follow and subscribe so you don't miss what's coming next. And if you'd like to support this podcast or explore devotional studies and other resources for your walk with God, you can find everything at KatherineSchaefer.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying. And as we close out this chapter together, remember this. The story isn't defined by who fell away, but by the Savior who still stands ready to restore. So until next time, stay close to Jesus, especially when it's hardest.